Today's daf is Ayin Tes. We're going to start on Ayin Ches Amud Beis, and that's two lines up from the bottom. The Mishnah told us that if you fill up this charitz that separates between two chatzeros with either afar or tzroros, then that is mevatel the charitz, and it really is as if it was one chatzer, and they need one erev that combines both chatzeros. They cannot set up separate erevin. And the Gemara's medayik from the Lashon of the Mishnah, filu b'stoma, it seems that once he puts the afar, then even though he didn't make a declaration, and he says, I hereby want to be mevatel my afar, nevertheless, it's considered as if it's sasum, as if he closed up this charitz, and that means b'stoma. And Rashi points out here that if you would not hold mistoma, then you would have to actually make a declaration. Rashi says, if you take a look, four lines up from the bottom of the Amud, Lahejav Yomar Lo Shakil Nale Mehacha. Only if he says Lo Shakil Nale, he has to make that declaration. But from Amish, it would seem that Afilu Bistoma, once he puts the offer, Bistam, we don't know whether he's going to take it or not, we're already considered as if it's sasum, and therefore the charitz is no longer mafsik between the two chatzeros. For Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Olos, by Shemilo, Tevhen, Otsroros, Ubitlo, Botel. Now we're talking about a case where there's a dead body of halal that's inside a bias. The bias is now in oil. Everything inside becomes tome, except in a case where there is a poser tefach on the top of the ohel, and in that case we're going to say that once he has the teven or the tzoros inside the ohel, that automatically is enough to be considered batel. But if you look carefully at the language of the Mishnah says ubitlo. That means he made a statement, as Rashi said, he declared that it should be batel. And in such a case, the Mishnah in Olo says that it's batel, it's sasum. And then what happens is, if it's sasum, then it becomes what's called tuma ritzutza. That means the tuma goes all the way up. Anything on top of the ol, all the way to shamayim, is tome. If, on the other hand, it was not tuma ritzutza, if it wasn't batel, then there would be an avir of tefach, and then the tuma would remain inside the oil. It wouldn't be tuma ritzutza. So the Gemara is medayik from the language of the Mishnah, bitlo in, and here we're going to start daf ayin tesam and aleph, lo bitlo lo. The Mishnah is clearly indicating that you need an explicit declaration on his part that he's being mevatel the tevet and the tzroros. And that's against our Mishnah here in Erevin. Because our Mishnah in Erevin doesn't mention that he was mevatel beferush. On the contrary, we're medayik from our Mishnah in Erev that even if it was bestoma, and we have right to assume he's not taking it out, therefore it's batel and it's sasum. Omer Rav Huna, man tana olos, who's the Mishnah? The author of the Mishnah in Olos is Rav Yosihi. And our Mishnah argues against Rav Yosi. So whereas Rav Yosi of the Mishnah Olos requires a bitul beferush, an explicit declaration on his part, he's got to enunciate and pronounce the words that I am now hereby being mevatel the tzoros, the even, and then it becomes as if there's no avir at all inside the oil, and it becomes tumah ritzutza. But our Mishnah maintains a different position, that even in the case of stoma, even if he didn't make this explicit declaration that he's being mevatel the even and the tzoros, nevertheless, it is considered, the offer in the Torah is considered batel. The Gemara says that can't be, because you cannot tell me that the Mishnah in Olos reflects the Shita Rav Yosi. Because, I Rav Yosi Ibcha Shamin, we have a Brisa that indicates Rav Yosi, on the contrary, disagrees with the Mishnah in Olos, and holds that even in the case of Stoma, it's batel. Desanya, we learned in a Brisa Rav Yosi, Omer Teven, V'ein osid lifanoso. If he puts Tevin inside the oil where the corpse is located, and we know that he has no need for this Tevin. He's not going to take the Tevin away. He has no other use for it. But nevertheless, he didn't say Beferish explicitly that he's not going to take it away. Nevertheless, Areikus Tam Ofar Ubatel. Then Tevin, although Tevin has a function, sometimes he can use it to feed the animals, but he has no intention of feeding the animals. And in the case of Ofar, for sure he has no intention to take out the Ofar. He has no function for the Ofar. And in the case of Tevin, Rabbi Yossi equates Tevin with Stam Ofar. So Tevin is a case where we know that he's not feeding his animals, and he has no interest in the future taking away the Tevin. And Ofar is something with Stam Ofar, even we don't know one with the other, whether he's going to take it out, it's Batel. The assumption is always that he has no function, he has no purpose in the Ofar, and therefore it's Batel. And if he fills up his bias with Ofar, only in a case, says Rabbi Yossi, of Asid Lifano, so we know for sure that he needs that Ofar, then Hareu, in the absence of that case, is Hareu Kistam Tevin Velo Batel. In other words, if we know for sure that he has plans to take out the Ofar, that's like Tevin. Tevin, we assume he wants to take it out to feed his animals. And there it's not Batel. But in a case of Stam Ofar, and for that matter, in the case of Tevin, when he has no animals to feed, and therefore we assume and we anticipate that he's going to leave the Tevin in his place, even though he didn't make an explicit statement, it's considered Batel. And therefore you see from this brisa that Rabbi Yossi maintains that stoma is batel. You don't need an explicit statement on his part that it should be batel. El Amar Rav Asi Man Tana Erevin Rabbi Yossi. He said it the other way around. Our mission in Erevin that holds that stam in the case of Ofar and Tzvaros, it's batel. That reflects the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. The mission Olos disagrees with our Mishnah and with Rabbi Yossi, and the mission Olos is of the opinion that we need bitl beferush, bitlo in, lo bitlo lo. Now we have another answer to reconcile our Mishnah in Erevin with the Mishnah in Olos as far as the issue of whether or not stoma is batel. Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua Mar Tuma Ashabas Karamis. How do you make an analogy between Tuma and Shabbos? In the case of Shabbos, we have a specific reason why it should be batel. In the case of Ofar and Sroros. And that's the issue of Muktzah, meaning he has no intention of taking it out because it's Muktzah. He's not allowed to take it out. Ofar and Sroros are Muktzah. Hanach Iser Shabbos, Tafilu Arniki Nami Mevatelinish. Even in the case of a wallet that has money in it, it's considered batel because he has no intention to take away the arniki because the arniki is mukt, it's also betiltel. And how much more so in the case of Tevin and Tzoros, Ofer and Tzoros, these are classic cases of mukta, and therefore it's batel. But if you're talking about something that could be fed to animals, and therefore it's not mukta, therefore you're allowed to take it out on Shabbos, and it's not batel. And in fact, if you take a look at the Bali Atosfos, they seem to assume that we're talking here about bittel in a case where it's not mukta, and that's why you need bittel beferish. In a case of mukta, Tosfos shita is that mistoma, it's batel because he has no intention of taking it out there. It's mukta. Rav Ashi has a different way of reconciling our Mishnah with the Mishnah in Olos. Bayis achritz karamis. Our Mishnah is referring to a charitz. A charitz, which is, as we said before, is a ditch that separates these two chatzeros. What do you do with a ditch? Well, ultimately, you're going to fill in the ditch because it creates all sorts of dangerous problems. But the Mishnah in Olos is talking about a bias. And in the case of a bias, we have no reason to assume that he's going to be mevatel the offer, and so forth and so on. So bishlei mecharitz the mit mitayme koil mitayme means to fill it in. So that's called in Hebrew achritz omed lehisasem, and therefore when he puts the offer, we have a reason to assume that he's not going to take it out because he's being so same lechritz. A bias, but in the Mishnah in Olos, when we're talking about a case of a bias. Oh, let me time, Koi. Are you going to tell me that it's omedli sosem? And therefore, when he puts the offer stam, we assume that his kavanah's intention is not to take it out. So therefore, in the case of bias, as long as he wasn't bevatel it beferush, he didn't expressly declare that he wants to be bevatel the offer, we assume that he's going to take away the offer. You don't keep offering a bias on a permanent basis, therefore it's not bottle. But in the case of charitz, in our Mishnah, there we assume limitmayikoi, it's omeidli sosim, and therefore, unless we know otherwise, he, in a stomach situation, is leaving the offer there on a permanent basis in order to fill in the charitz. And even the Chachamim who reject Rabbi Yossi and they hold that in a bias with his tumor inside the bias, a corpse in the bias, offer stam is not batel, they would be mode in the case of offer that was put into a charitz, that stam it's batel. In Shulchan Aruch, by the way, we paskin like Rav Ashi, and we're going to make this distinction between a charitz, which is mistoma batel, and in case of a bias, where we would need bittul beferush. The Mishnah continues and says, Nosan olav neser. He has this charitz, this ditch, that separates the two chatzeros, and he places a neser. A neser is a plank or a board, and he puts it like a bridge connecting one side of the charitz on one chatzer with the other side where the other chatzer is. So he now bridges. Yeah, you know, it's, the charitz is four tefachim wide, and therefore, generally speaking, it's a little dangerous to try to jump over this charitz from one side to the other. So the charitz serves and functions as a wedge, like the case of a kosel ben shtei chatzeros, separating the two chatzeros. But if he puts a neser there, and the neser serves as a bridge that connects the two chatzeros, and you simply walk the bridge, walk the plank over this charitz. Amar Rava lo shanu. Now the Mishnah stipulates that this charitz has to have a rochav, a width of four tefachim. Says Rava, that stipulation only applies elkshen nosan l'rochbo. Rochbo, as we said before, he's going from one side of the charitz to the other side of the charitz, right? Mi safal l'saf, it's called in Hebrew, like a gesher, like a bridge. Aval, but let's say he would attach this plank of wood li'arko, meaning north and south, not across the bridge, across like a bridge, but rather in the orech, the length of the charitz, because now the charitz, in order to be a mafsik, to separate the two chatzeros, it's got to have a width of four tefachim. Now he minimizes that width of four tefachim by setting up a neser to the orech of the charitz. And then afilu kolshu, even if the neser is not four tefachim wide, nami, it also achieves the same goal. Some Rishonim say it has to be one etzba wide. Sharei miyato me'arba, because now the charitz is no longer four tefachim wide, and therefore it doesn't have the status of a charitz. And once he's memayded a kolshu, if the Mishnah is talking about a case where the exact precise size or the width of the charitz is four tefachim, it's no longer four tefachim wide, and it no longer separates between the two chatzeros. And in such a case, we have a Pesach. And in the case of a Pesach, there are always two options. Either the two chatzeros can join together in one single Erev, or they can decide to set up two separate independent Erev. The Mishnah continues and says, V'chein shtei guzteros zu keneged zu. Now, guzteros are sort of like platforms that come out of a wall or the facade of a building. And if you'll take a look back in the Mishnah talks about these platforms or balconies that come out of the building. And the Mishnah says that if it's zo keneged zo, that if you have two guzteros, one is parallel to the other, and in such a case is ma'arvin shnayim. If you want to carry, so to speak, from one of the gusaros to the other, then you'll need a neser, you'll need some sort of a bridge that connects these two balconies. Amar Rava, Rava says the following. Now, before we go on, let me point out to you that the case of Shtei Gusaros, Zu Keneged Zu, can be interpreted in a number of different ways. We'll take Rashi's approach. And according to Rashi, what we have is, in Shtei Gusaros, you've got the facade of two buildings, and each one has this kind of a balcony that comes out of the facade of the building. And now you set up a neser, a bridge, with this plank that can take you from one gustara to the next gustara. And even though there's a shusarabim underneath on the ground between the two gustaros, nevertheless, he's allowed to cross from one gustara to the next one, as long as this gustara has the width of four tfachim. So that's Rashi Shita, that the gustaros are balconies flat up against the facade of two buildings. However, one of the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonasan, has a different picture of what these two gutros look like. He says that you have two buildings that face each other, and there's a Rosh Hashanah in between, and each one of these two batim on the two sides of Rosh Hashanah has a balcony that goes out, so that you have two balconies that, in effect, are hovering over a shusarab, and they're not connected, unless he puts a neser of four tefachim wide to connect between these two balconies. So again, according to Rashi, the neser is going on the facade of the building. According to Rabbeinu Yonasan, the neser is attached to the two balconies that are on two sides of Rosh Hashanah, that are facing each other on two sides. Now, there's a third possibility, which is also mentioned by Rabbeinu Yonasan, and that is where the facade of one building projects beyond the facade of the other building. So you have one building that goes further in to Rosh Hashanah, and one that goes back. And then what you're going to have is, you're going to have a balcony that's forward and a balcony that's back. And now you want to connect the two balconies. Amar Rava Hadi Amar, and that's which we said, that in the case of a Neser that attaches two gusteros, if the Neser has the Rochav, the width of four tefachim, such that you can bridge and you can walk from one get from one gustero to the other, therefore they can set up a common Eruv, Zo Keneged Zo, in. That only applies if both of these gusteros are shove. In other words, they jut out, let's say according to Rashi, from the facade of the building, each one, to the same level. So the size of the two gusteros is identical. But Zo Shalo Keneged Zo, if one of the planks will jut out more than the other plank, low. In such case, we don't say that a neser, a bridge that's four tefachim wide that goes from one to the other can allow for one eruv between the two. Ooh, furthermore, zo lamalamizu, if let's say one of the gusteros is higher than the other, and in such a case, once again, we're talking about two gusteros that are going on the length of Rosh Hashanah, according to Rashi. According to Rabbeinu Yonasan in one pshat, they are on two different sides of Rosh Hashanah. Is Nami also a neser, a plank that's wide by four tefachim, cannot be mitzarif the two gusteros such that they can have one eruv between the two? And the din is that if they're not zu keneged zu, these two gusteros are not exactly parallel to each other, or one is higher than the other, lo amaron, and we said then that the neser is not capable of effectuating a tziruv to combine the two for one eruv. Ella sheyesh bein zeh lezeh shlosha tfachim. If the distance between the two gustros is three tfachim or more, aval ein bein zeh lezeh shlosha. If the distance between the two gustros, these two balconies, is less than three tfachim, let's say it's 2.9 tfachim, in which case we could apply the principle of lovud. That means we see them as if they're connected. Is then gustra mukahi. We view it as if there's a gustra that turns and twists towards one side, and we consider the two gustros as one gustra because this neser now is spanning a distance that separates the two gustros, which is less than three tfachim, and therefore the two gustros are considered together, even though, again, one juts out more than the other. It's almost like it is a kind of a curvature. Now, according to Rabbi Yonasan, there's a really big chiddush over here, because if you have two gustros on two sides of a rabbim and you put a plank between them, it means that you're walking the plank literally. You know, it's you're on top of airspace. And usually in such a case, we apply the principle of bi'usa. Bi'usa, a person is afraid because he might fall, and that would be very dangerous. But nevertheless, the chiddush is that in our Mishnah, if the neser is four tefachim wide, then he will overcome any sort of fear and he'll walk from one gustra to the other. That combines two gustras into one, such that you can set up an eruv for both of the neighbors. We begin the Mishnah now in the middle of Ayin Tesam and Aleph. The Mishnah is a continuation of our discussion about two chatzeros that are proximate one to the other, but there is something that separates between the two. For example, we're going to have a case of an aremas teven, some sort of a haystack. And that's called, in the language of the Mishnah, a matben. A matben in Hebrew is called a gadish shel teven, a haystack. And where is it situated? She ben shtei chatzeros. It's between two chatzeros. And it actually goes from one to the other, meaning from north to south. It completely splits the two chatzeros, the whole width of the chatzer on both sides of the matbein is being separated, filled in by this matbein. Not only that, the matbein is gavah asar tfachim, it's 10 tfachim high, which sets it up as a mechitza that separates between two mechitzos, between two chatzeros. Ma'arvin shnayim ve'im ma'arvin echad. Each chatzer requires its own eruv. V'elu, however, ma'achilin mikan, v'elu ma'achilin mikan. This stack of hay is now food for animals. Each one of the two b'nei chatzeres on one side and on the other side is allowed to take from this matbein in order to feed his animal. We're going to have a whole discussion. Can he take it by hand, or he's just allowed to let his animal eat directly from the matbein? And the Mishnah now tells you what the fear is. If we're going to allow each one of the Bnei HaChatzer to grab from this matbein and feed his animal, this mita teven, me'asar tfachim, now the teven might go down more than 10 tfachim, be diminished less than 10 tfachim. And in that case, ma'arv v'nechavim, ma'arv m'shnayim, we don't have a chatzitza, we don't have a mechitza that separates the two chatzeros on both sides, and therefore the two chatzeros are one, they need one joint eruv. Now, they didn't make one joint eruv because the matbein was 10 tfachim high, but if we're going to allow them to feed their animals, there is a chance that maybe the matbein is going to be diminished below 10 tfachim, and they didn't make an eruv between the two. So we should be afraid that they may be tempted to continue to carry from one chutz to the other without realizing that there was nismayit ha-teven. We're not afraid of that, because animals don't eat that much teven. So we're not afraid that it'll get to the point where they'll eat so much teven during the course of Shabbos that the teven, the matbein, will now go below 10 tfach. We're not afraid of that. Now let's add another element into the equation. How wide is the teven, is the matbein? And the answer is, the matbein, as we said before, covers you through the entire width of each chatzah. If you're looking at it from the position of the opening of the chatzer, the entrance to the chatzer. And in order for this matbein to lose its status as a mechitza, you'd have to get a pirtza of 10 amos. Now, if there's no pirtza of 10 amos, then it's called a Pesach, not a pirtza. If it's a Pesach, they have two options. They could either join together with one Eruv, or they could have each independent separate Eruv. So therefore, if the animals are eating from this matbein on Shabbos, what are the chances that not only will it be reduced 10 tefachim in terms of height, but it also will open up a pirtz of 10 amos? Because if it's not a pirtz of 10 amos, it remains a Pesach. And therefore, if they decide for the option of setting up one Erev between the two, that's valid, or they can set up two independent Erev. The Gemara says, Om Rav Huna, Ubilvad shelo yitein litoch kuposo v'yachil. True, the animals won't eat that much, but if the man is grabbing onto the hay from the matbein and he's putting it into his sal, into his basket, then already we have to worry about the possibility that he might be memait, and he's going to continue to be metaltel in his chotzer, when in truth, if it's below 10 tefachim, he needs an erev that combines the two chatzeros. So now we see from Rav Huna that there's an iser drabanan to take from the haystack with your hands and put it into a kupa. And the reason for that is because we're afraid that if we allow each one of the bnei achatzah to do so and grab from the matbein to feed their animals, they might come to the situation where they are going to be mamait the matbein. So we see clearly from Rav Huna and his interpretation of our Mishnah that the Mishnah was allowing each one of the bnei achatzah on the two sides to bring his animal over to the matbein and let the animal eat from the matbein. And again, as we said before, we're not afraid that the animal will eat that much, but to take with his hands manually from the matbein in order to feed his animal, that's something that's osur mirabanan. And the reason is because we're afraid that he might take too much and reduce the size, the height of the matbein. So the Gemara asks, Ula ukme shari. That would mean that you're allowed to take your animal and drag it over to the matbein so that the animal eats from it. We're not afraid that he's going to take it with his hands. Vomer avhuna. But Rav Huna Omar, Rabbi Chanina, in the same of Rabbi Chanina, Mamed Odom es behemto al gabi asovim b'Shabbos. A person on Shabbos is allowed to take his animal and, so to speak, drag it onto grass and let the animal eat from the grass. We're not afraid that he himself, the person, the owner of the animal, will start pulling grass out and violate the Isur Meleches Ktzira Doraisa. So in other words, a person is very machmir, and we don't have to be afraid that when he takes his animal to eat, he himself might grab some of the vegetation that's growing and feed his animal. But v'ein mamid odem es mehemto al gabi muktzah b'Shabbos. Let's say, for example, he has muktzah, and this is food for the animal, but it was designated for a levena. In other words, he's going to use the straw not as food for his animal, but he's going to make a brick out of it, so that makes it muktzah. He decides now that he wants to use that muktzah to feed his animal. We're not going to allow him, in such a case, to bring his animal over to the muktzah, to the tevin, and eat from the tevin. We're afraid that he's going to violate the isur muktzah by taking the tevin into his hands. So now we have a real difficult question over here, because we see that when it comes to a doraisa, like the case of the asavim, we're not afraid that he would violate an Issur d'Oraisa. When it comes to Mukta, which is only an Issur d'Rabbanan, we're afraid that he will take it with his hands and violate an Issur d'Rabbanan. And this is against Rav Huna, because Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to take from the Tevin with your hands manually and put it into a kupa. He allows you, though, to take the animal and put it onto the matben, so that the animal will eat from the haystack. And the question is, why isn't he afraid in such a case that once he brings the animal over, he may be tempted to take the tevin in his hands, and then he would be violating an Issur d'Rabbanan? And we said before that when it comes to an Issur d'Rabbanan, like the case of Muktzah, we're afraid to let him bring the animal on to eat the Muktzah because he might take it with his hands. So the Gemara answers that here too, he's not allowed to take the animal and put it onto the matben, but rather to call imle the ap of v'yozel v'yochlis. We're only allowing him to block the path of the animal. Anytime the animal turns towards the right, he stands there and he blocks the animal, turns to the left, until finally the animal goes straight to the matben and will eat his tevin. And in such a case, he's going to be aware of the fact that he's not allowed to take the animal and bring the animal onto the tevin itself, to the tevin. And therefore, we don't have a chashash that maybe he'll grab, while he takes the animal to the tevin, he'll grab from the tevin himself and violate an Issur d'Rabbanan. And the reason for this is because kam lebi apa v'yozel v'yochla. But eino chinami, as we saw, Rav Huna in the name of Rav Chanina, he would not be allowed to take the animal all the way to the tevin, because then we're afraid that when it comes to an Issur d'Rabbanan, he's more likely to be mizalzel, and he may take with his hands. So the Gemara asks, wait a minute, v'lo yiten l'toku baso tevin? Are you telling me that according to Rav Huna in his interpretation of the Mishnah, you're not allowed to take with your hands from the straw and put it into your basket? For Tanya, we have a brice that says, bayis shebein shtei chatzeros. If you have houses between two chatzeros, in other words, these houses open up to two chatzeros, and you have in the middle between the bayis on your right and the bayis on your left that open up into two chatzeros, you have a bayis that's milu b'tevin, and he fills up this middle house with straw. And the Mishnah says, Ma'arvim shnayim ve'ein ma'arvim echad. Now, the straw will serve as a wedge, as a mechitza, as a chatzitza between the two batim, and each bayis now has to join its own eruv. They cannot set up an eruv between these two batim, the one all the way on the right and the one all the way on the left. But then the brisa continues and says, Zen nosin l'toku paso v'yachil, v'zen nosin l'toku paso v'yachil. Each one of the homeowners is allowed to take manually and put the tevin into his kupa. And ismaida tevin me'asar tfachim, if they take too much, and now the tevin is no longer 10 tfachim high, then shneim asurim, both batim are asur, they can't take from one bias into the other bias, because now it becomes a case of shnei batim psuchim la, that there are two batim that open up into one bias, and they didn't make an error between the two batim. Is keitzaru oseh? What should he do to be matir? At least that one of the two should be able to use the bias in the middle. Is noelas beso? The other guy will lock up his house, umavatos reshuso, and he renunciates. He gives over his reshus over the bias to the other bias. And then who also v'chaver mutter? So he's not allowed to be machnas u'motzi from his bias into that chotzer because he was mevatel's reshus. But chavero, on whose behalf he was mevatel reshus, he's mutter. V'chein ato omer, and the same din applies begov shel tevin, which is a bar that is wide, and they put tevin inside of it. Shebein shnei tchumei shabbos. In other words, half of it is the tchum of one city, and the other half belongs to the tchum of another city. And on Yontif, we're going to allow the Bnei Ha'ir, the members of the city, are allowed to take from the tevin, from that part of the bar that's inside their tchum, and we're not afraid that they may carry over to the other side of the bar and inadvertently take from that tevin which belongs to the other tchum, to the tchum of the other city. In any event, what do we need from this brisa for our purposes? Ketani mias. The brisa says that zed nosin toku posav yachil, zed nosin toku posav yachil. We see that we're not choshesh that if a person will manually take from the tevin and put into his kupa, that'll be a mismayit ha-tevin. The tevin will be reduced by 10 tfachim, and therefore they'll continue to be metaltel even after the miut. So why do Rav Huna say that they're not allowed to take the tevin with their hands? Amri, the Gemara says in the name of the Bnei Yeshiva that from the fact that you're allowed to take the tevin in this brisa manually and put it into your receptacle, in a case of a tevin that separates between two chatzeros, in a case where it's inside the house, we're not going to derive from this for as a universal principle that we are not afraid that if he takes the tevin by hand, it's going to cause a mute of Asar Tfachim, they'll continue to be metaltel nechotzer. But bias came unto Ika Tikra. There's a difference between a bias and a matbein, between two chatzeros, which is underneath the heavens. In the case of a bias that has a ceiling on it, ki mifchas, if the tevin goes down in its size, in its height, and it's less than Asar Minkor Alemil, so everybody will see it, because they'll notice the distance, the airspace, between the top of this matbein and the tikra and the ceiling of the bais. And they'll notify each other that we no longer can be metalt in the chotzer. So therefore, we don't have to be afraid that the tevin might go below Asar and he doesn't realize it. He'll definitely realize it. But hacha, here in the case of a matbein between two chatzeros and there's no ceiling, is if the tevin goes down below Asar Tfachim, lo minkor lemilsa, nobody pays attention to it, it's not nikar, and therefore we have to be afraid that they'll continue to be metaltel into the next chatzer, even after the tevin is mismayed, it's below 10 tfachim. The Gemara goes now back to the brisa that we studied to take apart the brisa piece by piece. It says in the brisa, nismayed ha-tevin, me'asar tfachim shneim asurim, Ha asara shari. The implication of this brisa is if that, as a result of the diminishing of the tevin, it reduces down to the level of asar tfachim, but still has the height of asar tfachim, then you're allowed to be metaltel the bias. Is afal gav de medalia tikra tuva. Even though the ceiling is very, very high, it's much higher than 10 tfachim, so that your matbein here in this case, your haystack, is exactly 10 tfachim high. The ceiling above this bias, above the matbein, is much, much higher. And now what we're saying is that this matbein, since it still maintains a height of 10 tfachim, it serves as a machitza, and separates the two batim in such a way that they can no longer carry from one bias to the other without a common eruv. Yishmamino, let's derive from this a major conclusion, and that is that mechitza shein magiz letikra shmon mechitzos. That even though the mechitza on the four sides of this matbein does not reach the tikra, nevertheless, it's considered a valid mechitza. And this reflects on the shita back on Daf Ayin Beis, that according to Beis Hillel, even in Mechitza She'ein Magios Lekak, remember we had the case of a beautiful traklin, and there are different chaburis living in different cubicles within the traklin, and the question is whether each cubicle has to have a representation in the Erev Chatzeros, and we said that according to Beis Hillel, in one opinion at least, even if the Mechitzos did not reach the Tikra, just the opposite. What I mean to say is that we now have a contradiction, because we're saying now that we're deriving from this brisa that mechitzos she'enam magiyos l'tikra shma mechitzos. According to one interpretation of Beis Hillel, in a case where the cubicles are separated by mechitzos that don't reach the tikra, then that's not called mechitzos, and they're all considered like one chabura, one reshus. They only have to give an eruv on behalf of all of them. So the Gemara answers that there's no contradiction. Amar Abaye, Hoch b'bayis shlosha sar chaser mashu askinon v'teven asara. We're talking about a case where the height from the ground until the ceiling of the bayis is 12.9 tfachim. The tevin now, as we said before, is 10 tfachim high. The distance between the top of the tevin and the tikra and the ceiling is now less than 3 tfachim. It's only 2.9 tfachim. And therefore, we apply the principle of lavud, and it's sasum, and therefore it's considered mechitza samagis le-tikra. And there's no stiva to beisilil. Rav Huna Brei, the Rav Yeshua, adds the following. Oma filu tema bibayis asara. Even if you'll tell me that the height of the bayis is asara tfachim, here we're turning to daf ayin tesamit beis. V'teven shiva umashahu, and the height of the haystack is 7 plus. Therefore, the distance between the top of the matvein and the ceiling is 2.9, and it's considered sasum because of the din of lavud, and therefore, since the teven is not far from the tikra by 3 tfachim, anything between the tevin and the tikra is considered sasum, and therefore we have a machitza magia le tikra. So Gemara says, Bishleim ala baye. The braisa could be understood according to Abaye, who says that we're talking about a case where the tikra is 13 minus tfachim, and the tevin is a machitza because it has the gov of 10 tfachim. Hainu diktari, now we understand that the braisa says, may asara, that only if the matbein went down below asara, then shnei masurim, el Rav Huna Brei, the Rabbi Yeshua, who says that the braisa is talking about a case where the tikra itself is 10 tfachim, and the tevin itself is 7 plus, is my may asara. What does the braisa mean when it says that as soon as it's nismait may asara, then the two batim osrim zelzeh, all you need is that it goes below 7 tfachim plus amasha. What does it mean it went below asara? That doesn't make sense. The matbein doesn't have to go below asara. The Gemara answers me, bitoras asara. In other words, we're talking about the din of asara tfachim. And once the nismait ateven, it no longer has 7 plus tfachim in its height, then we can no longer say lavud, and it's as if it has asara tfachim. Shneim asurim. The Mishnah, the Braisa tells us that if the Teven is reduced below 10 Tfachim, Shneim Asurim Shmamina, Diurin HaBoyim B'Shabbos Asurim. In other words, at the onset of Shabbos, before there was a mute in the height of the Teven, you were allowed to be metaltil from one bias to the other bias. And then something happened on Shabbos, and as a result, it was Nismayit. And we have a principle with regard to Shabbos that hold the hutra hutra, that if something was mutter going into Shabbos, then it remains osur for the balance of Shabbos. So Gemara rejects this and says, Dilma, perhaps when you have diurim aboyim b'Shabbos, ain of osrim, like we said before, and that which the Braisa says that in the Sinai that Tevin, it's both osur, de'imit me'esmol, because perhaps the Tevin was reduced below us or tfachim in height yesterday before Shabbos, or going into Shabbos. Already we have two chatzeros that are really one chatz, one reshus, and they need a common eruv. The Braisa says, Ketzeru oser, what happens in a case where the matbein went below 10 tfachim? Is there any way that we could allow carrying from one to the one chutz to the other? And he said, it says, Noel uspesa number one, umevata reshusa number two, tarte lomali, why does he need both? Hachi komar, oh, Noel uspeso, oh, mevata reshusa. Either he locks his door, and by doing so, he is revealing his das that he's being mesalik from this bias, or he can explicitly make a pronunciation of bittel and renounce his ownership in the bias. Iboy, same leolam tarte, the Gemara offers a suggestion that we need both. Why do we need both? Both Noel as Beso and Bittel as Reshuso. Why isn't one sufficient? And the answer is, Kevin de Doshbe Osi Litel Tule. In this case, since they are rugil, they get used to using the bias in both directions, we have to take an extra precaution. We have to be Choshesh that they'll come to carry from this bias into the other bias even if it became mismayit, and therefore we're going to require two things as an extra security, like a double lock, and we need both nolas based on mevatas reshusa. The Braisa continues and says, "Who aser b'chaver mutar pshita?" Of course, if one of them is mevatel reshus, then he's aser and his friend is mutar. Lo tzricha. What's the case in the Braisa? The hadar idach u'mevatel lechavre. That after, let's call him Shimon. Shimon was mevatel his reshus to Reuven, and Reuven now uses that other bias. Now, Reuven himself is mevatel his reshus in that bias. And the Mishnah, and Raisa wants to tell us that kamash v'lon de'ein mevatlin v'chozin u'mevatlin, that the second bittel is not going to be valid. In other words, we don't play ping pong here. We don't allow one person to be mevatel his reshus in the chotzer, and the other one is zoch, and then the other one now turns around and he is chosen mevatel reshuso in order to give the other guy a zechus in the chutz. So that we don't say. The Braisa says v'chein ata omer begov shel teven shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos, that in a case on Yontif where you have two cities and we're going to allow for that gov of teven which straddles both tchumen, it's in this the tchum of this city, and it's also the tchum of the other city. We're going to allow each, respectively, each Bnei Ha'ir to grab from the Tevin. And Pshita, the Gemara thinks it's Pshita. In other words, from the perspective of this city, it's within the tchum. He's not over going over the tchum. And so too on the other tchum. Lo tzricha. Oh, now you might say, well, let's be choshesh that he might cross over the tchum, the imaginary line, which is after 2,000 Amah, and he might grab something from the other side, which means belongs to the Tchum of the other city. Well, we're talking about an Issa Drabbanan. Tchumen is only Drabbanan, and therefore you don't have to enact a Gzera Otuid Drabbanan. So therefore it's Pshita, Lo Tzricha, Li Rabbi Akiva, the Amah Tchumen Doraisa. Rabbi Akiva holds that Tchumen is Doraisa, Gemara at the end of Sota. And if you violate this and you go beyond your tchum, you violate an isa d'oraisa of lo yetsa ish mimkom yom Shabbos. Ma'od etem, I would have thought that ligzar dilma asi lechlufe. That here for sure we have to worry about the possibility that maybe he'll take the tevin of the gov that stands on the other side of the tchum of Shabbos, kamash malon. But the Braisa wants to teach us, and we don't say so. And even according to Rabbi Akiva, you're allowed to take from the tevin, and we're not going to be choshesh that once he takes from the Tevin on this side of the Tchum, he might stretch his arm out and take from the Tevin on the other side of the Tchum. And this leads us to the mission in the middle of Daf, Ayin Tes Amid Beis. We said in the Mishnah back on Daf Ayin Gimel that if you have a Mavui and a number of Chatzeros open into one common Mavui, you're not allowed to carry from the Chatzer into the Mavui, unless they have what's called a Shituf Muvos. And now the Mishnah wants to explain, how do you set up a Shituf Muvos? Keitzad Mishtafim B'Mavui, Meiniach Es HaChavis. In the case of Shituf Muvos, you don't need a pass. You could be Ma'arev with other foodstuffs, for example, and with a barrel of wine or a basket of fruits. And one member of representing one of the chatzeros declares, "Harei this chavis zo lechol bnei amavu." I want to be mezaka the entire, you know, all the bnei amavu, all the different chatzeros that pour into that mavu, share that mavu. I want to be mezaka them in this chavis, and therefore it will be a valid sheet of muvos. And the Gemara is going to discuss some of the restrictions and the conditions that have to be met. Umezakelahem, he could do a zoch in the other shalom b'fanav, and he could make this kinyan on their behalf, but he can't take it himself. He's got to give it over to one of the bnei hachatzeros. He doesn't have them present, so what he does is he sets up, so to speak, a shliach on their behalf, and that's called al yedei bno bito hagedolim. He could give over the barrel to one of his mature children who are beyond bar mitzvah age, are they avdav shchasa ivrim, or he has an eved ivri, a shivcha ivris, an am ivriya, V'al yidei ishto, or he could ask his wife. So any of the above are considered valid personalities in halacha, and they could be zoche in the chavis, in the sheet of muvos, on behalf of all the bnei amavi. Aval eno mezak lo yidei bino, bino bito haketan v'lo yidei avdo v'shchos haknanim ibnei sheyodom ki yodo. But as far as his young children, who below bar mitzvah age, or bat mitzvah age, or his eved or shifcha knani, there we have a principle of yodo ki yodo, and therefore he's not taking the chavis and giving it over to the bnei achatzer, because there's no one representing the bnei achatzer to effectuate this kinyan. Om Rabbi Yehuda says, regarding this process of being zoch in the chavis on behalf of the bnei achatzer, chavis, shel shita muvos, tzorech lagbia min hakarka tefach. In order to effectuate this kinyan zchia on behalf of the bnei achatzer, you must lift the barrel at least a minimum of one tefach from the ground. Because if it's within one tefach, then it's considered as it still is munach. It still is resting in the reshus of the bailim. And therefore the other bnei achatzer, we cannot be zocher. Amar Rava. Now, in the city of Pumpedisa, there were elders. That's called Savev de Pumpedisa. And there were many rulings that came to us through tradition from the Save, the elders of Pumpedisa. However, the Rishonim point out, Rashi here and elsewhere, that Save de Pumpedisa is really a reference to one particular gadol in Pumpedisa, and that was Rav Yehuda. Sahani tate mili Save de Pumpedisa amrino. I heard three different halachas in the transmission of Rav Yehuda. Chadaha, first of all, what the Gemara quoted now in the name of Rav Yehuda, that in order to effectuate this zechia in a shita b'vos, you must lift up the chavis a minimum of one tefach, v'idach, and further I heard from him, and that is mekadesh, if a person makes kiddush on wine on Shabbos or Yontif, im tam melo muglav yotza, im lav lo yotza. The minimum amount of wine that he has to drink is to fill up the halal, the open space of his cheek. That's called malo lugmav. And of course, there's a long discussion here about how much malo lugmav is. Maybe it's the shear of a revius. And that's the minimum amount that he has to drink. No one specifically has to drink that amount, because there are many people that have been yotzei with a chaburov in his kiddush. Then we have a principle called shtios mitztarfos. But at the end of the day, you don't have to drink the entire cup of wine. It might be a gigantic cup of wine, but at least the moly lugmav has to be drunk. And that's the general halacha, that a kosher bracha requires not just recitation on the kos, but shtia or te'ima from the kos. Amar Rav Chaviva, there's another halacha that we heard from Sabe Pumpedisa Hanami, Sabbath Nus Amarim, the Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmuel, Osim Madura Lechaya B'Shabbos. After a woman gives birth, and it's Shabbos, and the cold is very dangerous for her, we're allowed to light a fire. Otherwise, she'll be in a life-threatening, dangerous situation. Savar Minei, the Gemara thought that when they heard this halacha in the name of Shmuel, is Lechaya in, he only allowed you to create this bonfire to warm up the air on behalf of a Chaya, a woman who just gave birth, but Lechol Elo. We cannot do this on behalf of any other ill person. And even in the case of Yoledes, the tradition was that it was only Bimos HaGeshamim during the cold winter days, and she needs to warm up. But Bimos HaChama, lo, during the summer months when the temperature is high, we don't need to create this bonfire and warm them up. So the Gemara rejects this and says, no. Itmar, we learned to the base medrash on Rav Chia bar Oven Amar Shmuel Afilu, even in the case of Hikis Dam, where he is bloodletting, Nitztanen, if he feels cold, Osim Lo Medur B'Shabbos, we already consider it as a life-threatening situation, will violate Shabbos and burn a tremendous bonfire. Afilu B'Tkufas HaTam, was even during the summer months. Omer Amemer Hanami, I have another halacha that I heard, I received in the name of Same the Pupadisa, Same the Pupadisa Amrinu. The Itmar, we learned to the base medrash, Ezu Asherah Stam. If, let's say, I buy a tree from a guy, do I assume that that tree was part of his paganistic ritual and has the status of an Asherah of Avodah Zarah Tzatzav Anah? Under what circumstance do I have to make that assumption? Amarav, Kol Shekomrim Shomrim Osa, the priests are very careful, and they're guarding this Ilan, this tree. And now we turn to Daf Pei Omer Aleph, the Ein Tamin Miperoseha, and they don't eat from the fruits of this tree. That is proof positive, circumstantial evidence, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that this Ilan is Avodah Zarah, it's being worshipped. Because if it wasn't being worshipped, they wouldn't prevent you from eating from its peros. Ushmuel Omar Kigon Di Amri Hani Tamri L'Shikra L'Bein Etzarfe. He says that if the Komrim, you know, these various Mesharsei Avodah Zarah that serve in the places of the monasteries of the temples of Avodah Zarah, they declare that these dates that are growing on this tree are designated to make a beer, and that beer was brought into the temple, and it was used as part of their ritual, their cult. And those are called nitzrafe in the language of Aramaic. Deshasale biyom Edom, and they designate these dates and the beer that they make, they produce, they make from these dates for Yom Edom, for their idol worshipping holidays. The Amalei Sabi de Pumpedisa, Hilchus Akavasi de Shmuel, we paskin like Shmuel, and even in a case where you have an Elon, a date tree, and they designate the dates to make a certain beer that they're going to drink within the context of their ritual, that's enough for us to assume that this date tree has been worshipped as Avodah Zarah. Before we end the shiur, I'd like to add a comment back on our Mishnah on Ayin Zayin Amid Beis, the sugi that we did today Ayin Ches Amid Beis, the sugi that we did today on Ayin Tes, with regard to a chritz that was Moli Kash and Moli Tevin, the Zatosis, back on Ayin Ches Amid Beis, that's relevant to the daf today of Ayin Tes, that's Tosti Ramaskal Afilu, Moli Kash Umoli Tevin, which is the fourth Tosis on the daf. The Mishnah had said that if you have a charitz and it's full with kash or tevin, then it's chotzeis between two chatzeros. And Tosis says that we're talking about a case of kash v'tevin hanitolim, that you're allowed to take them on Shabbos, and that's why they're not batel, and that's why the mechitza is not betela. And the reason is because this kash and tevin can be used as animal food, and therefore it's not mukta. So it's only there on a temporary basis. Now, it would seem from Tosfos that once you have a dover sheneh nital b'Shabbos, that would be enough to be memayit the charitz. And that is actually reflected in the sugi that we did today on Daf Ayin Tes of Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, that Hanach Lisa Shabbos Tafilu Arniki Nami Mavatal Inish. And you recall that Rav Huna, in order to reconcile the two Mishnayos here and in Olos, wanted to differentiate between Shabbos and Tumas Mes. And that is because in the case of Shabbos, even in Stoma, there's an assumption of Bittel because of Mukta. Even in Arniki is Bottel. And therefore, the Gemara would really support Tosfos Shita that whether or not something is batel really reflects the question, and only the question, of whether or not it's mukta. Once it's mukta, then it's batel. However, the Karen Ora asks from a Tosfos later on Daf Pei Dalid, that Ofar, if he intends lefanoso, he intends to take away the Ofar, it's not memayit, even though Ofer is certainly mukta. And that would seem to reflect the teretz here of Rav Ashi in our sugya. And this is the question
of the Keren Ora. And this question of the Keren Ora really generates a lot of discussion. The Chazon Ish in Siman Tzadi Zayin has a discussion about this.